morning, everybody. Yeah, I'm pretty honored to be here. Everybody's done such a great job with this series so far. Got a lot to live up to. My name's Harry Stone, and I'm going to be talking about art and spirituality. And so I thought I'd start with a little joke. It's going to be an art joke because a lot of my other jokes are a little too spirited for the church. So, what's red and smells like blue paint? Red paint. Who said that? You get some Skittles. Okay, so we're going to be talking again, like I said, about art and spirituality and the relationship between the two. Now, so I thought we'd start with what art is, so a description of art. So art is the creative skill and imagination of a person where they produce a work that can be appreciated for its beauty or its intellectual construct or its emotional power. That's a quick description of art. And it can be in visual form. So if we could get the first slide up. It can be in visual form. There's different forms paintings. This is showing the ascension of Christ. And the next slide, be painting, drawings. Here's a drawing by Leonardo da Vinci. And I thought that I'd throw this in here for Matthew. We'd put a Brit up here. It's a Henry Moore sculptor. It could be paintings, drawings, sculpture, and even photographs. Here's a photograph by Ansel Adams. And it can be art can be other things too. It can include other activities like music, literature, film, dance. And it can be just about any material as well. So if we could get the next slide. Yeah. Here's another British artist. The different materials can be anything. This is Damien Hirst. He used a shark in his piece. And the name of this is The Impossibility of Death in the Mind of Someone Living. So I guess he put a fancy name with it to make his point. He's part of, if we could go back to that slide. He's part of a group of artists called the YBAs, the Young British Artists. And they came onto the scene in the mid 1990s. And a lot of their art includes like for shock value, as you can see. This was shows a shark in a big vessel. So when you walk into the room, you kind of think, oh, here's something that could eat me, but it can't because it's in a a vessel. So this was a very shocking thing at the time, especially because of the amount of money that was paid to produce this. Damien Hirst was paid 50,000 pounds to produce this shark. Now, I know, Matthew, I know things are more expensive in England, but 50,000 pounds for a fish with no chips? I actually borrowed that from a headline at the time in The Sun. If we could go to the next one. So again, it's not just paint and pencils and things that an artist uses. Here's a piece by an American artist named Jeff Koons. And you can see he used vacuum cleaners as a instrument of art, or as his materials. The name of this one is called New Hoover Convertibles, New Shelton Wet Dries, 5-gallon double decker. So it reminds me of the when Chaz spoke and he was talking about the urinal. And by Duchamp. So there's a picture of the urinal. And Matthew, it took everything I had not to say it in the English way. So I'm gonna kind of quit poking fun at the English thing. So the last few things that we saw, the vacuum cleaners and the urinal, they're pretty much ready-made things that are available to you to use as materials. So then we move on to spirituality. So that's kind of a little definition of art, giving you an idea of what you can use to make art and the things that are made and are actually considered art. Now, spirituality, I'm going to give you a little exercise. I'd like to give you 1 minute to think of a definition of spirituality in your mind. If you could just think about that and see if you can come up with a definition of spirituality. Okay, now with a show of hands, how many people had something come to their mind right away of what spirituality was? Okay, so I guess quite a few people had a hard time actually putting it into words. When I was first asked to talk, I had a hard time putting that into words too. A friend of mine, I said, oh yeah, I'm gonna be talking about art and spirituality. And she said, well, what exactly is spirituality? And I tried to put it in words at that moment, and I thought, oh, I've got a lot to learn about spirituality. So I think a lot of people are with me with that. So it's hard to describe because it's something that's intangible. You can't touch it. It's something concerned with affecting the soul, or like Vike said, when he spoke, it's about the heart. And when you're talking about the heart, you're actually talking about emotions and feelings. And the strongest emotion that there is God's love within us. That's a very strong emotion that we feel. And if we could get the next slide with Romans. Romans 5:5 tells us, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So in our emotions, we're going to feel God's love that has been poured into us. And he works to spread that love within us and guiding our feelings. So you can feel feelings of empathy and compassion, feelings of hope. And so emotions and feelings are a very important thing to us. They're part of what makes up our personality, part of what makes us who we are. And along with the emotions, the other part of our personality is our intellect. And the Spirit of God operates in us, operates with us in our memories, our reasoning, our thoughts. And if we could get the next slide, please. Corinthians, Paul tells us, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So in our reasoning and our thoughts, God is always there. He's letting us think His thoughts. Our reasoning lets us think about God, and we interpret that through our feelings. So when we have our feelings, and we interpret our reasoning and thinking through God, when we're focused on God, we understand God's purpose and nature and will. Now, some people are really touched intellectually by this this spirit that's within us. Harriet Beecher Stowe, when she wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, she said, "I did not write it, God wrote it. I merely did the dictation." So these things are brought to some people. And then there's the third thing that makes up our personality. So we've got the emotions, the intellect, and then there's the will. A spiritually minded person will set God's emotion on and intellect on, well, God's will is set on God. I'm sorry. A spiritually minded person sets his will on God, and together with the intellect and the emotions, they become all three equal, a spirituality under the love and guidance of Christ's indwelling spirit. We could go to the next slide. Really, what I guess I'm talking about is a journey. We're all on a journey to understand God, to feel God, and to grow more spiritual. And I guess we're all at different points in that spiritual journey. And normally it's going to start out when you're a child. And the first moment that I actually felt something spiritual or something about God was when I was a little kid. I guess I was probably like 4 or 5. There was a woman who lived on our street, and at the top of the street we'd walk up there, and she would have like a Bible study on Sundays in her backyard, and she would make these little plaster figurines, and the children were allowed to pick one out, and we were allowed to paint it and take it home. And these figurines were pretty much nativity figurines, like Joseph, Mary, animals like that. So it was really exciting to take those home. But when you looked at it, you really felt like there was something in it. There was something touching you when you see these religious relics. So that's the first time that I actually started to feel God. And